the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm Carolyn Wara, sitting in front of Nell Larson this week.
Hi, Carolyn. Joining us is Nate Brown. He's a Park City local, and he's been involved in the annual Utah Birders Park City Christmas Bird Count. And he's here right now, Nate, to join us and talk to us.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Nate. Thanks for joining us, as always, around the Christmas holidays. This is kind of an Audubon-founded annual bird count. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I always love telling the story. Chris, I think you know it well, and maybe this is new for Carolyn and the listeners, but the Christmas bird count started officially in 1900, so it's 120 years, but it originally was a day people would go out on Christmas and see how many birds they could kill. And so a gentleman and a few other people, Frank Chapman was his name, he originally started the Audubon magazine and started helping with the society. He said, let's go count birds instead of kill them. So much better idea. Turned into a pretty fun activity, citizen science, helping count and see where birds are and that time of the year. And it just turned into kind of a worldwide tradition this time of year.
So when did it first start around here?
So Utah has quite a few chapters of Audubon chapters around the state. Park City, a few folks, Utah Birders was created about 10, 12 years ago. They decided to start doing one up in Park City. And so this is the 10th year they've been doing that. It's a little different. As we all know, with the mountains and the reservoirs, it's kind of some different habitat. So you never know what you can get in the winter time.
Okay, so what? Well, let's go right to the event itself. When is it, and where will we be walking about and looking for birds?
Well, the actual way that the Christmas bird count works is you pick a day, and so this year we've chosen January 3rd. They give you about a 3-week period to do it. So with January 3rd being this Sunday, that's the day usually we've gotten together, we meet, we divide up into sections of it's about a 10-mile circular radius around Park City. Everyone kind of goes out and has a checklist and checks bird feeders and roads and trees, whatever may be found. Then we get together. We've had one of our great birding friends always hosts a nice chilly lunch, but this year with COVID, we're going to avoid that. But it's just what's nice is you get to count 3 days before and 3 days after. So we get a lot of people that will email. I'll give you an email later. You can have for those listening that want to help, and just send me what you've seen, and we put a big tally together, and then you enter it all into Audubon, and that it's a little, things have changed obviously with the internet and access to locations, but it's all based on finding birds, reporting them in certain locations, not just in Park City but around the world. And it's been all really helpful for science and what's going on in the world and environment these days. Right. Some of the regions, I mean, neighborhoods in Park City are good. If anyone's out skiing and sees anything, they'd like to report, that'd be awesome. We go out to Peoa, Rockport, Jordanelle Reservoir, a lot of locations that are pretty helpful.
Okay.
This year will be different because we'll be probably meeting, hopefully we'll be meeting in parking lot and handing out some maps and some checklists so that people can go to those areas. A little different. Usually we have a lot of folks that are novice birders that want some help, and we can carpool, but things are a little different these days.
So I'm a little I would be in the novice birder category. How would someone like me participate when I don't know how to recognize a lot of birds? How would I use my checklist to best help you get the counts you're looking for?
We've been waiting. There have been a couple other bird counts around the state. Ogden just had one. So we've been talking to some of the folks that run that and see how they do that with some new people. And they've kind of done like a carpool type of mentality where they can point things out from cars, so they're still separate. One thing that is very helpful if you're interested in birding is to get an actual field guide book, whether it's a Peterson guide or a Sibley's. There's a couple apps on your phone that are really helpful now. So having binoculars can be very helpful. And so just trying to study and learn birds and then just always asking questions to the group is very helpful as well. So everyone kind of starts in a different manner. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with not knowing your birds or identifying birds wrong. Happens to the best of folks as well.
Right. So as I imagine this, if a group, let's call it a group, goes out and they're walking down some paths, they're going to be identifying birds that they come upon both visually and through calls, bird calls.
Correct. Both are useful ways of identifying birds.
Okay, and so you're just going to be
the calls is the most challenging.
Yes, but you can probably have a good birder has a sense of what a magpie call is or what a chickadee call is and a finch and a scrub jay, etc.
Certainly.
Might be a little more difficult to identify, say, I don't know, certain types of raptors from calls. They have similar calls or so. But so that's the nature of the process as a group. But you're saying that individuals could fill out a form, too, from their backyard feeders.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, a lot of people just will email or call over and say, hey, I've had these species by this amount each day, and so we'll add them to the list. And yeah, a lot of people, great way, especially in the winter where we live, is if you have bird feeders out, that's where birds, we've got snow on the ground, so birds will come to those and eat and get to see good close-up views. And that's a great easy way to start to learn your birds if you're new at it and identify them. You'll see them consistently and get to know their traits and color patterns and characteristics. So definitely you don't have to technically participate with our group. So you can do it from home. You can walk your neighborhood. Walking trails is helpful. Taking your dog out for a hike and seeing what you can see, bring your binoculars is a great way to get out there and look at birds.
Okay. And so how do people get a hold of one of these forms?
The best way to do it this year is I've got an email, and so you can contact that. We'll get you in touch. What is hopefully going to happen is we'll have a lot of people join, and we can send you out. If you want to do a region, like a neighborhood, you can do that, or you can just do your own. And we can email or quickly meet up safely, masked up, and get you those checklists. So the email is utah.birders@gmail.com, and so you can just contact our little group and we can get you all set up. And I mean, if you have questions, if you'd like to tag along, so to speak, and not the most environmentally safe way, Carolyn, but we like to carpool usually, but if you'd like to drive along and follow along and see things that way, that's a socially distancing way we can do it this year too.
Yeah, actually, let's touch on that. Because of COVID, how is everybody going to be driving along in obviously separate cars, and then we're going to get out and walk as a group, maintaining distance and masks?
So to cover the greater radius area, we've had up to 5 or 6 groups, 7 groups of people. So usually you're in a small group of 2 or 3, 4 people, your friend or family member or someone that would like to show, you'd like to see an area and someone knows it. And so, yeah, you're driving, car birding sometimes, depending. We've had some pretty gnarly weather and cold weather, so you don't want to get out of your car too much. But we have a group that usually goes and they take some scopes and check out the reservoirs, Rockport and Jordanelle. So you can be outside and learn how to use a scope and see how that device works for birding. So there's kind of a lot of ways to do it. We're kind of just curious who's interested, who wants to go where. Some people request the same Jeremy Ranch Road, East Canyon Road. Some people like to go do that every year, so we give them that section. But then other people, just like myself, I tend to drive around for a couple days and see spots that haven't been checked out if we missed them. And so those, we're kind of doing this, I don't know, we'll call it a hybrid, seems to be the word of the year. A hybrid mentality this year, with keeping small groups, going in your own areas, and seeing what we can find out there.
What happens with the data you collect? Do you send it to like a national organization, or does it stay within Utah, or is it just kind of compared to your...
It actually, good question. It's actually this like really formal process of, so I'll take all the checklist, and it's every bird that's seen. So if you've seen a thousand magpies, we count those and you put it into this system. It's all through Audubon. And it just kind of, it goes into this giant, I think I was reading there's almost 3,000 Christmas bird counts, worldwide now. So all these numbers go in, and, scientists and ornithologists, they basically take data and try to find trends over the years, and whether it's climate change or weather patterns. So it's pretty awesome stuff that comes out of these things. And tracking birds in general has become a very popular thing, and it's all really great because it's science based. So it helps see things and let people that are way smarter than me figure out what's going on in the world of birds.
Let me reintroduce you, Nate. We're speaking with Nate Brown about the 10th annual Utah Birders Park City Christmas Bird Count, to be held this weekend, Sunday, January 3rd, at several locations. And again, if you want to find out where those locations are, you can go to, is it utah.birders@gmail.com. That's an email address.
Or if you're interested in just showing up, we are going to we'd prefer to have you email just so we know kind of who's coming. But if you decide to just wing it on Sunday, we're going to be meeting at the parking lot kind of by the Park City Bagel in the Pine Brook, and we'll do our best to keep distance and masks on and divvy up checklists and areas and regions to go. So we'll be there about 8 o'clock Sunday morning.
Okay. And for those who can't make it, you can still fill out your own checklist from looking out the window of your backyard or walking around your neighborhood. So it's a great family related event and activity, and gets you involved in citizen science. Now, Nate, give us a sense of what birds we're going to see, because it sounds like there's obviously upland species, more mountain-based species, and also water-based birds, too.
Yeah. You know, one of the challenges in the winter we deal with is, you know, it's the waterways. So places like Rockport Reservoirs can be a great location, Jordanelle. Now, if they're frozen over with the cold weather, we might be down species like the waterfowl, you know, your ducks and geese and those birds. But with the trails and mountains and people just talk with their bird feeders, we get great, you get two types of chickadees. There's mountain chickadee and black cap. Mm-hmm. You can have Steller's jay in our areas. There's a lot of different types of woodpeckers, not just your northern flicker, but a hairy woodpecker, a downy woodpecker, pine siskins. There's juncos. You can still get some good raptors. I've been actually seeing around just Park City general bald eagles, golden eagles, red tail hawks, kestrels, merlins. So there's quite a variety. And I'm hoping it warms up a little bit so we can get those reservoirs open so we can find some species on the water this year.
Yeah. What are some, say, unusual sightings over the years?
Let's see. We've had, was at Rockport. We had a long-tailed duck, which is a beautiful species of duck that was out there, pretty rare to Utah in general. So that was a really fun one. There have been some reports of a Lewis's woodpecker out in the Silver Creek neighborhood. So anyone out there can go help us look for it. Really, really nice, kind of iridescent looking woodpecker species that is very uncommon to Summit County and Park City area. You never know. We've had a goshawk, a northern goshawk, which is a very kind of secretive raptor found. So never really know what we can get. We're hoping to find some different types of owls this year, which is always right. fun for people to see.
Although more of a nighttime activity.
Very true. The one or two exceptions, we've had some people saying they're seeing barn owls out in some areas. So those are more, you can see those a little bit more in the daytime, opposed to a lot of the other owl species are nocturnal.
Okay. Last few minutes. I was curious, is there a summertime version of a bird count too? Because obviously there's different birds here in July and August. There should be like a July 4th bird count.
I know. It is interesting how they've kept this a very Christmas time, which usually is a lesser number of bird species pretty much everywhere, just with the weather conditions, depending on where you live. But they have created I'm going to get the term right, but it's a great backyard bird day. So people report what they've seen in their yards, basically on their feeders or in their areas of their house areas. So that is in the early fall or summer, I believe. I don't know quite the correct date, but that's kind of the summer version I think you're referring to.
Right. Okay. So there is something akin to that, because obviously different species, and I'm most curious about how observations are changing over time. Of course, in a warmer world, are we seeing species that maybe migrate out of the Park City area in the winter? Maybe they're staying here longer, or they're returning earlier. Anything along those lines?
You know, it's tough to say specific to Park City. I think one thing that has definitely been noticeable in our little area is with the amount of new homes and projects being built and the loss of habitat. For example, those sagebrush areas, I think we all kind of know where some of those areas are. They've definitely moved a lot of birds from those habitats away. I know there's people that live in around, let's say, the Silver Creek or the Promontory areas that have noticed a lack of, say, sage grouse or partridges that they used to see while hiking or walking on trails, and that's probably because of a loss of habitat. So that's an unscientific answer you're looking for. A scientific one was, I just read a study report from New Mexico and the Southwest U.S. that was saying they're finding thousands and thousands of species of birds dead, and they're noticing the sizes of the birds are smaller. Their wing strength is weaker, and they've completely attributed to the droughts in New Mexico and California and Arizona. So there's a lot of science into that.
Okay. All right. Well, we gotta wrap up. Again, let's give some of the details. The event per se, although like you say, it's 3 days on either side of Sunday, January 3rd, that you can go out and do a walk and fill out your checklist, etc. But the event itself is this Sunday, January 3rd, and the meetup areas are again where?
We're going to just go with it's the parking lot area of the Park City Bagel in Pinebrook, which is close to the grocery store there. So we'll just meet up there. You'll probably see a few of us just kind of hanging out with helping people get some locations and checklists and anything else we can provide. If it's a field guide or some binoculars, we try to help out anyone that's interested, and we go from there, and then everyone either emails or sends a photo of what they found, and we tallied up, and it's a usually it's been a great way to meet some new people in the community or just get to learn how to find some birds or some birding spots. This year, obviously, we'll be much safer just with the environment we're living in, and we'll just see who's interested. Hopefully it's not snowing or 0 degrees like we've had in the past.
Right. And that's at 8:30 Sunday morning?
We'll be there at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock Sunday morning. Yep. And it'll go through the morning. It kind of wraps up around noon.
Yeah, we've always done about 4 or 5 hours of it. That seems to be per the conditions. That seems to be a good time to kind of check all our basic areas. But like you had mentioned, and I said, you can go around your yard, you can go hiking. Some people have called in or emailed from their while they're skiing the birds they've seen up on the slopes. So that's another area we don't cover by foot.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah.
And again, the websites or email address is utah.birders@gmail.com. You can also go to utahbirders.com, the website. Yep. There's a Christmas bird count information on that site, and download the checklist from there.
We haven't put it up there. All the emails will come to me and a couple other folks, and we'll be able to send out any information or checklist that people are interested in from that. So
okay, well, Nate, thanks for joining us, and I tell you what, we'll loop back with you maybe in a month or so when you get some data back, and we can talk about what you did see and what you didn't see, and see how things went.
Well, great. I appreciate it, and always nice chatting, and I expect to have some reports from both you and Carolyn this year as well.
You know, I'm planning on joining you. I'm gonna be there Sunday morning, this January 3rd.
I need to learn a little bit about birds first, I think. It will help.
Well, that's why you should join along.
Exactly.
And just walk behind.
I do have a bird brook.
Okay.
So I got started there.
All right. Nate Brown, thanks again. Utah Birders, Park City, Christmas Bird Count. We'll be in touch.
All right. Great, guys. Thanks. Have a good day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.